And so today, we want to talk about our God and his provision, but more specifically, the choices that we make, the decisions that we make, because we too often have insecurities about the future. We want to talk about the decisions that we make based on the fact that we are not secure about our future. How often do you stay in a situation longer than you should because of the security that you believe that it provides you, or the lack of security that you imagine in your mind if you don't have it or if you don't stay there? How often do you accept propositions that you should not for the same reason? Because you believe that that person or that situation will provide you the security that you so crave. Because despite being the Son of the living God, joint heirs with Christ, with a Father who loves you, you still don't believe that your needs will be taken care of. You don't believe that he's more than enough and that he will give you more than enough, that all of your tomorrows are taken care of. So you accept a deal, you accept a proposition, you make a move, all based on securing your future. Similarly, sometimes we avoid or we abandon the relationship or the assignment or the post that God has given you. Why? Because some place or someone else offers more. We're talking about the decisions that we make and can make or have made based on trying to secure our future here, as opposed to doing the things that will secure our jewels and our crown there, and that further cement and forward our relationship with God, as opposed to the things that we so often do that sever or distance our relationship with God and take us further away from our purpose and our calling. Amen?
Amen.
We rationalize these decisions, often by imagining the worst case scenario. If I trust God, what if he doesn't come through? Now, we don't admit and say that out loud, but we act it out. We think of the worst case scenario. I'll be out on the streets. I won't have any clothes. Now, we don't say that, but we act like. The decision that we make is as if we would be homeless, as if we would have no clothes on our back, as if we'd have no food. We make these decisions. We conjure up, we rationalize, we convince ourselves that we can't survive without him or her. We can't survive without that particular job. We can't survive if we don't accept this opportunity. Are you hearing me so far?
Amen.
Because of that, we do things our way and we proceed to handle things in our own power. And we make decisions that go against our purpose, and it results from not trusting and obeying God. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
Hopefully today's message will help you to make better decisions or to continue to make the right decisions if that's what you're doing, knowing that God can always take care of you and will always take care of you way better than you can. Amen?
Amen.
For our text, we go to Matthew chapter 6. Wonderful Sermon on the Mount. If you have a red letter version, you will see nothing but red. That means it's all Jesus, so there shouldn't be any controversy. There shouldn't be any problems. There shouldn't be any kicking, screaming, or fighting. There shouldn't be any debating. This is Jesus speaking unopposed. And this is Jesus speaking not in response to someone or something. This is what was on his heart when he finally broke out and started his ministry. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to focus on verses 19 through 21. And we're going to skip on down to verses 24 through 33, all red letters. 19 through 21, 24 through 33. Amen. Say amen when you have it.
Amen.
That sounds like most of you. I'll begin reading verse 19, Jesus speaking. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt," in other words, destroy, "and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is," what does it say? Where your treasure is, what does it say?
There will your heart be also.
Where your treasure is, what does it say?
There will your heart be also.
Amen, amen, amen. Wherever your treasure is, wherever you buried, wherever you left it, wherever you have it stored, wherever you're accumulating it, that's where your heart's going to be. Jesus didn't say, wherever your treasure is, your heart might be there. He says that's exactly where, it doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what you want people to think, doesn't matter what they think if they're not paying close attention to you. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. Now, we may say, because of the difference in the economy and the society at the time, we might say, I'm not pursuing wealth, I'm not pursuing riches, I'm not stacking up hundreds in my garage. We might say that, but we have our own version in today's world, in a working class society where we work generally for a living. We have our own version of storing stuff up for the future. Amen?
Amen.
Where we focus on and devote ourselves to things that are really a result of us wanting to secure our future here on earth, decisions that we make because we're worried about our tomorrows. So we have our own versions. We may not be stacking up hundreds, but we make decisions that we believe will secure our future, just like the wealthy and the greedy in biblical times would pile up their versions of the hundreds. Amen?
Amen.
We have our own versions. Jesus is saying that your heart will be, not maybe, wherever your priorities lie, whatever matters most to you, that's where your heart really is. And he doesn't want your heart to be broken, so he'd want you to lay up treasures in heaven and depend on and focus on him. Because if you depend on something else, your heart will be broken. It will not come through for you in the end. And even if you think you've won this race, if you win this one outside of God, you won't join the next one. Even if you watched a televangelist and said the sinner's prayer. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus goes on to say in verse 24, you've heard these verses before, I'm sure. No man, read the rest of it for me.
Can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other,
mm-hmm.
or else he will hold to the one and despise the other.
Mm-hmm. Read that again.
No man can serve two masters,
mm-hmm.
for either he will hate the one and love the other, or mm-hmm. else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and men.
Now Jesus is not playing games here. He's telling you not to lay things up here, trying to secure your future here later, but to lay your treasures in heaven. But he knows how we are. We like to straddle the fence. We like relativism, whether it's moral or financial. We like to have our cake and eat it too. So he cuts straight to the chase. He says it's a binary decision. It's a fork in the road. You are either serving God or you're serving mammon. You cannot serve both. We would like to think so. We'd like to see, well, I'll put God first. But very, very quick, second, third, and fourth is everything else we want to pursue. He says, you're not really serving me if you're trying to half serve that. God is not asking us just to put him first. He wants to be supreme. He wants to be first and last. He says you cannot serve him and mammon too. In other words, you will be ultimately, because this is slavery talk, you can't have two masters. You're either going to prefer one or the other. You cannot serve, truly devote yourself to two masters. You can't devote yourself to two women. Although some guys like to think they can. And they think that the woman is supposed to be happy because she's number one. That's funny, huh? Do we treat God like that? I put God first. But that's nice on Sundays. What happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? God's supposed to be happy that you put him first. But the decisions that we make Sunday evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that prove to God that we don't really trust him, we're not willing to depend on him. So we will take a job that we shouldn't. We will leave a relationship or a situation that we shouldn't for something that's supposedly better. We will cheat on our taxes. We will not pay our child support. We will do whatever it takes for us to secure ourselves as far as our natural eyes can see. We will compromise. We will do the things that that boss tells us to do that we know we shouldn't do because we believe that he's got the inside track and the favor with him will get us the promotion that we want so that people can be proud of us or look up to us or we can get a few more dollars. We make decisions from Monday through Saturday and even Sunday, but we try to put God kind of first on Sunday. He's saying here very clearly, you cannot. Your heart is going to be where your treasure is. Your heart is going to be where your emphasis, your focus is. That's where it's going to be. No two ways about it. And you cannot serve God and mammon too. You cannot serve God and money too. You can't chase God and money too. That's going to offend some people because I know there's a whole lot of people. They get to sit on the front row because they make a lot of money. And then they give a lot of money. And it sounds like we might be saying that they can't be into God. That's not what we're saying. You can't be chasing money and also chase God. You can't serve God and also serve, be, do, decide the kinds of ways that it takes when you are focused on money and possessions that will not live, that will not last past this earth. He's saying you can't have it two ways. No man can serve two masters. He's making it clear to you. It's one way or the other. You can't straddle the fence. You can't be in between. You can't hover. He says you're going to serve one or the other. You either with me or you against me. You either trust me or you don't. We like to go halvesies. You either trust me or you don't. Do you trust me? You either will rely on me or not. You either are really in love with me and I'm the one and only, or I'm not. We're not talking about prioritizing him. Oh, I come home to you. I bring the check home to you, dear. Why can't I have a little bit of fun? She makes me feel good. Well, he makes me feel good. Jesus is saying you cannot serve God. You cannot please God. You cannot be devoted to God and also devoted to pursuit of money, mammon, pursuit of the things. How often do we say, I can't do that for God. I can't be at that event because I have to work and we had a choice. That sounds like a legitimate, you know, excuse. People always do what they really want to do. We had a choice. We trust. really? What's that money? What really? What's it going to do for you? All I got to do is wait a year and see what your situation is going to be worse than it started. We're not chasing money. Yes, we do. We chase the things that money can buy. We chase the things that money can buy us a year from now because we don't believe God's going to exist and be on our side a year from now. Yeah, we believe he's going to be on vacation. We believe he's going to have a sick day. I don't know what we think, but we will do things and make decisions based on the idea that our God either can or will not meet our needs. This is what God wants to say. Can you imagine if we all actually paid attention to this? Can you imagine what would happen if we all accepted God's offer and truly trusted him? There's a few people in here who can give you the testimonies of what that would be like. And some days I think about maybe I should just shut this thing down and have testimony service so maybe you can hear it from somebody other than me. Maybe that'd be more powerful. Maybe it gets a bit monotonous, Pastor, up here, even though he tries as hard as he can. Maybe if somebody that sits out there came and told you what it's like to truly trust God and make decisions that go against your flesh and see how God won't open up a window from heaven and pour you out blessings, you can't outrun God's blessings. But those people are not giving to get, but they can't outrun him. Some of us are chasing money. And there's a few of us that got money is chasing you. And you know who I'm talking to. Are you hearing me? Amen, amen, amen. But again, you might say, but I'm not chasing money. I would ask you, are your choices based on money or security, even in those moments when you know or you are told that those decisions are clearly against the will of God in your life? I'm not chasing money, but are your decisions contrary to what you should be doing for God, where you should be? Are your decisions contrary to the will of God? We do this all the time. We come up with great justifications. God's asking us to be better in this area. Isn't that something? He's begging us for us to depend on him. That's like somebody having money trouble, and I'm begging you, begging you, begging you, let me give you the money. Please. If you're out there doing the wrong thing to get money, before I'd let you get hurt, destroyed, strung out, I might get on my knees and beg, please let me be there. Please. I won't let you down. I've never let you down. I've never led you astray. I've never not taken care of you. Please let me be the one. But no, if you insist on figuring out your own way, how many folks have gone into a deep ditch because of that? He's begging us, depend on me, trust me, lean on me. But otherwise, what we find ourselves, because we have the worst case scenario mentality, we get desperate. We get desperate. Anybody been desperate? Anybody desperate now? Secretly, privately desperate. And so you hold on tightly to whatever that thing is that you have invested your heart, your life, your energy. Some folks won't retire when they could, when they should. Why? Because of they don't believe that their tomorrows will be taken care of. They can specifically tell you what those tomorrows will look like, worst case scenario, if they don't keep doing what they're doing, even though God told them to be over there. Oh, but we're not money chasing. Yes, you are. You're chasing after somebody else who's offered you something else that could go down if the economy starts to flounder. The rules could be changed. The laws could be changed so that those pensions that are so secure cannot be so secure. Why not trust the one that says, you can't see? You say, I'm in the clear. He said, no, somebody's right behind you. There's a bush right there. They're on the other side. Well, you can't see it because you depend on this binocular vision. But God has God eyesight. Why not trust the God's eye view? Some of us have made decisions that we're already paying for, but somebody's got a decision right now. Right now that you're struggling with. And you know, you don't have to wonder. We're all human. The flesh is pulling you toward what you think is secure. And God is offering you something better. Dependence on him. And superabundance above all you dare to ask, hope, dream, or desire in every area of your life. Woo! Amen. Brother Marcellus said, you giving money to God is about relationship. And Jesus is saying, whether you chase money or not, whether you chase security down here, laying up your stuff, and that's where your heart's going to be, he's saying it's no different. Amen?
Amen?
Now, it's great when things go well, when what I want lines up with what God wants. Whoo, that's great. I like attention, and he tells me to preach. Hey, look at me. I think I can sing, and he tells me to sing. What if he tells you or moves you to serve in that way when you don't think you're such a good singer? What if he tells you that because you help people worship like other people can't? And it's about worship. It ain't a talent contest. But we make decisions based on, it's not just financial security, whatever makes us feel secure and successful. How about pleasing God? That's not the economy we operate in. We claim God, but day after day after day, we operate in an entirely different economy. We make decisions based on something else. Not to beat a dead horse, but we wouldn't be here today if I made decisions like that. The people I know mostly said I shouldn't have been opening up this church because they looked with these. Rancho is over-churched. They don't need another church. You are too busy. You have a major job. All I can tell you is God said so. And he hadn't changed his mind. So that's the only reason we are here today. The British Open is on. I could be watching that. And I could be praying and praising. I mean, some serious church. Pastor Trina and I had church yesterday before the nursing home. So I'm just trying to tell you, I'm trying to get across to you how we make these decisions. And it's equivalent to what Jesus is talking about here. Amen. Are you learning something?
Amen.
Are you being touched?
Amen.
I hope you're being moved.
Amen.
I hope I'm influencing you. It's nice when things work out. It's nice when what you want and what God is planning for you matches up. But do we do the right thing when those two things don't match up? What happens when your plans, what you want, what fits your flesh, your desires don't match with what God wants you to do? What do? We lay up treasure. Amen?
Amen?
We could continue to live that way and be found serving mammon, even when we claim we are not. And there are some beautiful moments when the light shines down on us and proves who we're really serving. Those critical moments when you are given an offer that you struggle to turn down. It's your struggle and your wiggling in your seat that tells on you. You shouldn't even be struggling with that thing. You have God. You marry to somebody and somebody else gives them a proposal, and if you're able to watch on a secret camera and they got to struggle with that decision, you already have your answer about where their heart is. If you're with a company that's been good to you and you've been good to it, and somebody gives you an offer for $3 an hour more and they were able to see you and they see you squirming, they know you're not happy. They know you're not satisfied, and they know what matters most to you. Money. Or maybe a pension plan. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to get a better job if that's there for you. I'm talking about if you're supposed to be at this one and you claim loyalty to this one. And this one is tied to who you are and the difference you can make in this world. And you take the other, or you struggle with it. We know what's going on. But what if you do squirm? That tells us something. But what if in your toughest moment of temptation, you do what Jesus says and you call out the word and you say, no, I hear you. You know, my flesh wants to do something, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And so you know what? My flesh wants to do one thing, and I was tempted to go with it, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go with God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to grip my teeth. I'm going to clench my fists. And even though it's hard for me to do, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to wake up smiling. I'm going to wake up on the other end, on the other side. And I guarantee you, you'll be better off. Are you hearing me so far? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. It's good when God agrees with you, but what if he doesn't? Amen?
Amen.
25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body. Why are you worrying about that stuff? What you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment or clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, because they don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not better than they? Jesus is starting to get into the thought processes that we use to lead us down the road of serving mammon. He's trying to give you a detailed analysis of what you use to rationalize how you end up there. He's saying for some of us, in verse 25, therefore I say, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, yet your body, what you shall put on it. Isn't life more than food, and isn't life more than clothing? What he's getting at there is those of us, it's not about whether you're going to have it or not. It's about your lifestyle. Or you're going to have clothes, but they're not the clothes you ought to have, the clothes you used to have, the clothes, you know, that you enjoy. So you can't afford those things, but you're going to do whatever you got to do to support the lifestyle that you insist on having. Oh, you can eat, but you can't go to the restaurants that you used to go to and that you want and that you deserve. Oh, you're going to have a house, you're going to have a roof over your head, but you can't have the house that you can brag about. So you'll take whatever loan they'll give you to get that house. The lifestyle you insist on defending. What's that got to do with God's perfect will? Oh, well, somebody else has it. What's that got to do with you and your purpose? Are you hearing me?
Amen.
But he's not done there, because some of us, it's not about lifestyle. Some of us go deeper. Behold the fowls of the air, for they don't even sow. They don't reap. They don't pile things up in barns. And yet God feeds them. Aren't you better than they? Because we will go to the worst case scenario and imagine we're going to be eating cat food. I wish I could put a number on it and say how much money we could have promised to us, and we imagine that to be a life of eating cat food. Are you with me? Woo! I'm just saying that the mind, the ninja mind tricks that you do on yourself, and you can make plenty seem like nothing. You can make a God that can supply all your needs seem like he's nobody, with nothing to offer, a failure. We can make decisions that let folks know that we don't really have confidence in our God. We're not really devoted to him. He wants us to be. We ought to be. Maybe deep down inside you want to be, but people always eventually do what they really want to do. And they will tell you, I'm sorry, I can't do that because I've got to what? Work. I'm sorry, I can't do that because I've got to what?
Work.
I'm sorry, I can't be there because I've got to what? Oh, man. Those jobs must be really good to us. Those bosses must be really good to us. Sorry, I can't be there for you, God. I've got to work. Sorry, I can't have the character you want me to have, God. I've got to cheat on these taxes. I've got to lie on that application. I've got to not pay what I'm supposed to pay so that I can pay the bills that I made while I was getting the things that you didn't tell me I should have. It's just a circle chasing our tails. At some point, can we just stop and let God be God? Everything will be all right, by the way, after that. Do you believe me?
Yeah.
It'll be all right after that. If we could just stop the madness, we'd be all right. A little louder.
Amen.
Now, what's beautiful is we've gotten to verse 26. I figured out where I am now. And now we're going to get to the part that all of that builds up to. I don't know if you even knew that all of these verses were together. You've heard these verses before, but did you know they were together? Did you know there was a context? Did you know that Jesus was trying to make a point?
Yes.
When he was speaking, unopposed, not responding to any kind of, you know, jabbing at him. This is stuff that was on his mind for 30 years. And he finally got to speak up. I'm going to tell you a thing or two. This is what I came here for. I didn't come here to confirm all the mess you've been doing. I came here to tell you what God really thinks. I came here to tell you how to make that adjustment you need to make. I came here to offer you a better life than the Pharisees are offering you. I came here to offer you something better than the law. So in verse 27, Jesus says, which of you, by taking thought, by worrying, can add even one cubit to your stature? How many of you, by worrying, by fretting, by being up all night scheming and being concerned, can even add one inch to your height? His point is, you can't anymore solve your problems really without God your way, then you can add to your height. God's in control all along. Why are you always worried and trying to control everything that you actually can't control, but you think you can? Because Satan will always give you an offer that fits what you want, that gets you what you want faster, that gets you more of what you want instead of what God wants you to want. Because when you accept that and your relationship is tight with him, you'll end up with more than you really asked for.
Right.
What's crazy about this is, I can tell you this, people will pay hundreds of dollars to listen to somebody tell them how to invest in real estate. Get the program and the books and the tapes. And preachers are trying to give you the keys to the kingdom. X marks the spot, the treasure's buried here. And somehow or another, It doesn't work in church. It doesn't work in church. I can give you the manual. I can tell you exactly. I can have testimonials. I can have people tell you, this is how I did it, and it worked. But it's about relationship. It's about relationship. And sometimes we get surprised when we realize that in our lives, there's agreements that we've made, there's relationships we've established for what we get, that we didn't realize those relationships were as deep as they were. We didn't realize we were as committed to something or someone until we find ourselves squirming with a proposition they make. Because it's about relationship. Are you with me? I'm not sure. Which of you can worry your way to what you really need in life? Which of you can worry your way into security? He says, you're wasting your time. He's begging you to stop wasting your time. He says in verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment, meaning clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, meaning it exists today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven to be burned, shall he not much more clothe you? What does he say after that? Oh, ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now we are in the 21st century in the United States of America and in California, more specifically Los Angeles, so we should add, what shall we drive? We're worried about that. He says, why are you taking thought for those things? God is going to meet your needs even when he gets you a bus pass. He's meeting your needs. But we will defend to the death our right to have it the way we think we ought to have it. I used to ride the bus. Cars would drive by and a puddle would be there and splash on me. But look at me now. You got to have the long-term view. Not the short-term view. Was I resentful of riding the bus? Actually, no. That's why it's all right if he gives me the opportunity to buy whatever car I want. Because the car doesn't own me. It doesn't make me. He can let me be a doctor because that's what I do. That's not who I am. Doesn't determine my worth or my value. I'm not better than somebody else because I have an MD. I can have all the MD I want. If I don't do this thing in this small church under these circumstances, I am nothing. You can MD all you want. People can say, whoa, that's something else, all they want. If I'm not also doing this, nothing. Are you hearing me? Amen. So he says, take no thought about what you're going to eat and your drink and substitute all the other stuff that we sell our souls for. Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Pause for Bible study. Is that in parentheses in your Bible? What does that mean? That means it was added for clarity, kind of like the Amplified Bible tries to do, right? So if you read it without that, it's going to read perfectly. because it wasn't there in the first place. But they thought it would be nice to help you. So he says, wherefore withal shall ye be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. We didn't need that Gentile reference. Because what if the Bible ended up in the hands of Gentiles? Now what's it going to mean to them? Huh? Don't need that. It wasn't a Hebrew thing. Are you hearing me? So not only does God love you and you're worrying and going to do no good, but he also knows what you need. Did you know that? He says, therefore, take no thought saying what you shall eat, what you shall drink, how you going to clothe yourself, how you going to have a roof over your head, how you going to drive, what kind of car you going to be able to drive to the job that he gave you, right? Why are you taking thought for that? Why are you worried about that? Why are you scheming over that? Your heavenly Father, what, knows that you have need of what? All these things. Underline all these things. Why are you worried about all this? Why are you worried about this? Why are you worried about that? Why are you worried about all these things that you need? Don't you realize that your Father knows that you need it? That should put you at such ease. Guess what? God knows I need this thing. Now, make sure it's a need now. Make sure it's a need. Make sure it's a need. Now, if you've got a need, you should be so relaxed. Because why? The creator of the universe, your Father in heaven, that's never one time failed, he knows you have a need. And those of you who know what a loving father is like, you know that he is dying inside, not meeting that need. It should be met later than you want, because it's something that you need to learn from this. It kills him not to meet it sooner. So not only should you not toil, should you not be all concerned, all wrapped up, all upset, God knows that you have need of what? All these things. So now you have the context for the verse that you've heard a zillion times. You could quote on your own. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You probably thought because of that righteousness that it meant, well, the do's and the don'ts. Well, if I don't have sex with this one, and I shouldn't do that one with that one, and if I'm not lying all the time, because I got to lie some of the time. Seek ye first. I have a little time. We're going to break this down. This is the context. Now you know everything that came before it. Now you know what Jesus was talking about when he said it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Some people think go to church on every Sunday and pay your tithes and then all these things will be added unto you. Am I wrong? Give tithes, not pay tithes, sorry. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? Underline it again. So guess what? Your Father in heaven knows you have need of all these things, whatever that includes for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All those things that he know you need anyway will be added unto you, but he's going to give you super abundantly above all you dare to hope. Ask, hope, dream, or desire in every area of your life, because he's your Father. And he what? Loves you. And he knows what you need. And if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these things will be added unto you. Let's talk about seeking. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This word seeking doesn't mean just looking for. It actually does not mean looking for. It does not mean searching around for something, groping around for it. It means, that word is zeteo, Z-E-T-E-O. It means to seek by inquiring, to investigate, to reach a binding resolution, to get to the bottom of what God wants. You're seeking, you're not looking around for any old thing. You're seeking and inquiring to investigate, to reach a binding resolution. We don't seek the right people half of the time, or we won't listen to them when they come, because you don't want no binding resolution. You don't want to commit to nothing. You don't want to be held to anything. You don't want somebody telling you, we don't want somebody telling us what to do. But it says, if you want all them things added unto you, what should you do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So you are seeking, you are inquiring, because you want to get to the actual bottom line. I'm not trying to find what I want. I'm trying to get down to the heart of the matter. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, what does the kingdom of God mean? That word kingdom means sovereignty, kingship. Not talking about a place. Seek ye first the sovereignty of God, the kingship of God in your life. Seek ye first for God to be king and ruler of your life. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. This righteousness means God's judicial approval. What God wants. What God says is best. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first to have God king of your life, and his righteousness, his approval, his decisions, his perfect will. Sounds different, doesn't it? No, it's not just I cannot fornicate and I cannot steal and then I can chase any kind of money I want. I cannot lean on God. I cannot depend on God. But seek ye first for God to be king over your life. Uh-oh, that means I'm not on the throne. That means I say yes when I feel no. Oh, no. That means I go when I don't feel like it. That means I do the inconvenient thing without giving the convenient excuse. Oh, no. You mean I'm actually going to give myself away? I'm actually going to have to live the song? Oh, no. I just want to sing it. I have to actually live it. I have to seek what God really wants. Do you know how many people I talk to that they don't really want what God wants? They want what they want. So how many hours get wasted? Wasted. Because we want what we want. The pastor was the wrong vending machine. I need to go to the other one that will get me what I actually want. His vending machine only gives me healthy stuff. Darn. There's going to come a time when that vending machine is going to be gone. And you're going to wish for the healthy stuff. You're going to wish you could have had the healthy stuff. Seek ye first for God to be sovereign in your life. That means he can say what he wants to say. He can decide what he wants to decide, and I've got to be good with that. He can decide the timing, the place, the people, the circumstance, what he wants me to do, what he created me for. To be a good leader, you got to be a good follower. If you want to lead for God, you got to let him be God. You got to be willing to be a bondservant, a slave. So you got to be chasing after not just God, because we think we can look good doing that, but you're seeking God's actual judicial approval, his final sanction, what he wants, what he thinks is best, and what is right for you. And then all these things. What's your job? Seek ye first. For God to be ruler of your life and for his approval to be what matters. and then all these things shall be added unto you. Now, when he says seek ye first, he doesn't mean for you to seek him first and then everything else a quick second. Just like when he said, thou shalt have no other God before me, he meant no other God other than me. They chose to interpret it the way they wanted to, so they thought they were doing okay when they worshiped God and the other gods. It's always been binary. We do Jedi mind tricks on ourselves and make ourselves think we can serve the calf, and we are serving God. Or we can serve the idols and the groves, but we also go to the temple. So they get to the point, you know, let's just make it convenient. Let's just put all the stuff in the temple. So we can just do both. We can have it both ways. No. Seek ye first doesn't mean just come to me first on Sunday and then you can do whatever else you want after that. No. Seek me first and only. Not just a second. Just not a first priority when mammon is the second and third and fourth and fifth priority. So we can give God a couple hours maybe and then do whatever we want. Amen?
Amen?
That second part is passive. I want you to pay attention to that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Is that active on your part?
Yes.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? All these things shall be added unto you. It didn't say then you could add all these things. That's a passive thing. You seek God and his righteousness. You seek for God to be Lord, true Lord, real Lord, actual King, actual Master of your life. Want his approval. What does he want in your life? What does he think is best? He knows all. If you just accept that perfect answer, then all these things. Why? Because he knows what you need and he loves you. You can rest. We don't want to rest. We like holding on because we want what we want our way because we want security here. We want to satisfy this. We want to look good to them instead of satisfying him and looking good to him and just resting. This is Bible. All red letters. All red letters. So that second part is completely God's business. You do yours, he'll always handle his. So if we trust God, then we can be confident that our needs will always be met. Do you believe that?
Yes.
And if you believe that, then you'll make better decisions that allow your purpose to be fulfilled. Amen?
Amen.
But God must be God. Just remember, when you're supposed to be somewhere and you say, but I got to work, God ain't being God. Because you don't have to work and you know it. You know it. Does that hurt? Somebody say, ouch. I didn't hear too many ouches. I guess that's a good thing. Yeah, if we have confidence in God, then we can make good decisions and we can rest, knowing that God's going to meet all our needs according to his riches and glory. We can be purpose-driven people. We can actually work a job that is connected to our purpose. We can actually go to God for answers and want the right thing according to his will and according to his wisdom and according to his plan for your life. Isn't that beautiful? But God has to be God. He's got to be sovereign, meaning you've got to accept his decisions and love it and like it. And embrace it. He's got to be the master of your life. Somebody's going to be your master. You serving somebody or something. It just should be God. Final verse, verse 34. Take therefore no thought for what? Tomorrow. Because the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Weird King James language. In other words, look, all you got to do is let God be the Lord of your life. And then you can rest. All that stuff will chase you. All your needs will be taken care of. So stop fretting over making bad decisions in order to secure your future because your future is guaranteed to have its own challenges. So your future is guaranteed to have challenges, but you over here now working on that future as if you can somehow undo problems that you don't even know yet. But you're going to prepare for them, though. I'm gonna heap up some security while I can. He says, don't be worrying about that. First of all, it ain't promised. But tomorrow, the future is guaranteed to have its challenges. So worrying or making decisions that lack trust and faith in God only add to tomorrow's problems. It doesn't take them away. And it also hinders your purpose. Amen?
Amen.
So we should be God chasers. Worrying about tomorrow takes away your joy from today. And you don't even know what tomorrow's going to look like. How many of you knew 6 months ago that today was going to be like this today? So we should be chasing God, and we should be chasing our purpose. We should not be chasing money. We should not be chasing security outside of God's will. Ain't nothing wrong with a pension. There's nothing wrong with a 401k. There's nothing wrong with saving up money. Trust me. Nothing wrong with having a good job. Nothing wrong with staying in a relationship or a situation that's right. The problem is if that's against God's will and you holding on to it for the wrong reasons, because that's your security as opposed to God, that's where the problem comes in. God will never steer you wrong. He will never, ever shortchange you. But he just needs you to trust him first, serve him first, and only. Not just first. First and only. So now you know, the next time somebody says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you, you can preach a sermon to them now.